It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous.
He gets straightened out over there?
Hell no.
Okay.
No, you can't straighten out this old man. What you talking about? I lost damn cause, man.
Yep.
Trying to get my headset right and get the sound right, and and then I forgot where I was at and what page I was on.
Right.
Oh, we don't have a page, though. That's the reason I couldn't buy it.
No. We start out with a blank page and just kind of go
hear
from
that.
There, yeah.
I hear that. Yeah. I see we got a caller over there already.
Yep.
Brother Phil.
Caller, you with us?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Man, I value you guys' opinion. I'm in a little dilemma.
Uh-oh.
My wife was in a little accident. Guy sort of hit her, put a little 12-inch gash between her right quarter panel between the tire and the bumper.
Right.
The adjuster came out, and looked at it about 3 weeks ago and said, oh, okay, it's about $3,000 worth of damage.
Right.
But we took it to the dealer. We said, well, since it, let the dealer fix it.
Right.
All right. So, dealer get there, open up. They sent him an aftermarket part. And he said, no, we're not going to put this quarter panel on. We want the factory one.
Right.
So, make a long story short, the car's 011, 82,000 miles on it, run like a dream.
Yeah.
Never had to put none on it but tires and the average. Cabin outfit and a battery, that's all.
Right.
But anyway, so when they saw a little structure damage inside, they said, oh, this is going to be around $7,000. The car's valued at $9,000, so it's over 75%, so the insurance company want to toll it out and pay me $9,000, but
right.
I don't want a car note because it's paid for.
Right.
Should I take the $9,000, try to buy it back and fix it up as a salvage car? But they did give me an option to take it from the dealer to another paint and body shop, and if it's around by $6,000, they may go on and get it repaired. What you think I should do?
Ideally, and working around a dealer, the dealers typically will fix them exactly the way they were from the factory, as close as they can possibly get. Now, it's not always going to be 100% exactly the way the factory built it, but it's going to be so close that you're not going to be able to tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
The little
hole is about the size of your tennis shoe.
Right, right.
He just bumped and put a little cut there, so.
Right.
I guess until they took it off, they saw a little something. But the car run, you can't tell nothing wrong with the car when you're driving it.
Right. Well, and the problem you got now with if it leaves the dealership, somebody's going to owe them for pulling the quarter panel off and doing the work they've done so far.
The insurance company say they'll pay for the storage and that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're not going to, if you wanted to take it, they're not going to charge you anything for what they've done?
Well, it's $35 a day. It's been about a month. Insurance come to say they didn't work on it, but they took it off. But when they saw the little structure damage, insurance come to say they weren't paying that much.
Right, right.
So they gonna put it back on, and the insurance company gonna pay for the 35 days it's been there storage.
Yeah.
And they told me if I take it to somewhere else, and I'm assuming if I can find a painting by the shop to do it for maybe like $5,800,
right,
they'll cover it because that's not 75% of the value of the car.
Right, right.
But if it's $7,000, they want to toll it out because that is 75% of the value of the car.
Yeah. And you'll probably be able to find someone that would do it for that. I mean, it's basically called like a contract repair where you tell them, say, okay, this is how much money I got to work with. And they look at it and say, okay, we'll do it for that. And yeah. And at that point, they've agreed to fix whatever is wrong with that wreck, you know, damage for that price, regardless of what they find when they get there.
Right.
So, so they're taking a little bit of a chance, but I mean, and it's possible to do. You know, it's
like
not the best way.
Man, that car runs so good.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine a little 12-inch gas could cost that much money.
How about another opinion?
All right.
Okay. I'm not going to disagree with anything Kevin said, but he also works for a dealership.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, the insurance company is supposed to be able to get your car fixed for the estimate that they wrote. Okay?
Yeah.
So all you got to do is tell the insurance company, okay, you wrote that estimate. You know, what shop do you want me to take it to so that they will fix it for the amount that you showed me? And I'll be satisfied with the repairs, and they will be warranted.
Okay.
And then it's their responsibility to get it fixed.
Yeah.
Okay, because then they got to make sure.
$3,000 is a lot cheaper than $7,000, isn't it?
Right.
Well, if the car is put back in safe, proper condition, and you're satisfied with it, then that's all that counts, because it's your damn car to start with.
Right.
I never stopped driving it. It still drives.
Well, okay.
Right.
But tell the insurance company you don't want them to fix it, and you realize that you took it over there. It was your deal to take it to the dealers.
Yeah.
But now tell them that you're not satisfied with what the dealer's trying to do. Would you please recommend a shop that they will guarantee will fix your car like it's supposed to, because you want your car back?
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to do that.
Mm-hmm. All right, then.
Okay.
I'm not going to say the insurance company name, okay?
No, we don't want to do that. But, no. I mean, they're all basically the same.
All right.
Yep. But they have contracts with shops to do the work that they write.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they will, that shop does their work, and they accept that insurance company's check, then your car will be warranted.
They told me, if I get the car, or Tuesday, they say Morelli's got to be turned in Thursday.
Yep.
Yep. All right, then, man. I'm glad y'all can give me a little. I might could sleep tonight.
There you go. But don't lose no sleep over it, man, because you pay good insurance. I know you pay good money for the insurance. Tell them to fix your car.
The guy that hit me, I'm going with his insurance because he was in the wrong. I didn't use mine.
Right. Well, right. That insurance company is required to fix your car then.
All right.
Yep.
Like, hold your feet to the fire.
Thank you.
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right.
And most insurance companies will work with you a little bit. They'll go over that 75% number if it's a car you want repaired.
Right.
And they feel like, okay, this is all the damage we're going to find. There's you know, because hidden damage is what, you know, gets them in a bind.
Well,
you
know? Right.
Because they don't, you know, the adjuster that comes out for the insurance company, he's not going to pull it apart and start digging for.
That's why they have supplements,
damage.
You know?
Right.
And they have a supplemental write up on it. So if they find something that's there. But there's a lot going on with the insurance companies and the shops that are working for the insurance companies. And, we as people that are paying for good insurance, then we just have to stand our ground because the insurance company is required to put the car back in warranted shape so that they can still warrant it. Now, getting back to this 70% deal on totals, if the car is in the first 3 years of age, then you're going to get in trouble there if you don't want them to total it because they're not going to listen to you. Because if it's got, you know, if it's within 3 years of age on it and it's less than 100,000 miles, and it's got that much damage that they feel like that it's over 70%.
Right.
That's a total car. You know, that's just total. That's all there is to it.
Right, right. Which I think he said it was 11 model. So
it's
outside of that. But
it's 10-year-old, 9 or 10-year-old car. You know, and hey, 80,000 miles, that car's not hurt.
No. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for, you know, keeping one. If it's paid for, you don't want to get, you know.
Right,
a lot of insurance companies, it's also a clause in there where they have to repair it or replace it.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay, you find me one with 80,000 miles that's in the same condition mine was. Not, we'll just swap.
Yeah, we swap. As long as it,
Yeah.
Thought I wanted to finish, like, hanging off of it and on three or four Maypop tires.
Right.
You know,
right.
Maypop any minute.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah. So. But, you know, and just and just like this gentleman, if you got a question or something like that about automobiles or anything pertaining to them, give us a call because either Kevin or I, one, have been involved in it. And the reason I had another opinion because I've worked for a couple of body shops. I worked for a paint supply company, and I worked for a salvage yard selling those used parts and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've seen a car one time.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
And Kevin has too. So.
Exactly.
But utilize us. That's what we're here for.
Yep. It sounds like it's time for us to take a break, and we'll let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Roll on highway, roll on along, roll on daddy till you get back home. Roll on family, roll on crew, roll on mama like I asked you to do. And roll on 18-wheeler, roll on.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's pounded down, loaded up and
trucking. Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Rump for a long time. Class. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But, Tom, I'm going to let you carry this one, but we got it. Looks like we got to race it more this weekend.
Eight more Alabama.
Yeah,
eight more. Yeah. Now this is a fabulous Atmore Dragway. And located up in Atmore, and at a little that new NHRA approved 8 mile drag strip. That's one of the finest drag strips in the South.
It's a very nice drag.
It is. Yeah. It's awesome. It's good shape. It's safe. But they've got March 19th and 20th, which is I guess this is Saturday and Sunday. I would think that's what that is. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but the battle cry at Atmore Dragway. Now, guys, this is something else. I was talking to Larry this afternoon, and they're bringing in those blown pro modifieds, open outlaw racing. They're blown nitrous and turbo pro mods and altered track record breaker class. Unbelievable. Fastest record breaking blown and turbo dragsters on the planet. It's going to be a great event, and it's so exciting. They got Super Pro ET, Pro ET, Street ET, Junior Dragster, which is additional classes that they'll have there. But now, I understand from Larry Coulter, he's running the track up there now, that the track record is a 371 in eighths of a mile.
Yep.
So that's picking them up and putting them down.
Oh, yeah.
We rode drag race before.
Oh, yeah.
That's flying.
That's moving. That is moving.
So one of these participants called him today and said, it happened to be a lady.
Yeah.
Said, I'm so and so and I drive such and such car, which I don't remember their names and I don't remember the car, you know. But she says, what is the track record? He says, it's 371. Oh, well, okay, I can beat that. Well, what do you mean? She said, I'll tell you what I'll do. If I don't set a track record at 3.5 something, then you don't have to pay me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what? He said, I'll take that bet.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
What's he got to lose?
Yeah, what's he got to lose? Nothing, you know? But she said, oh, that is no problem.
Yeah.
But that is flying. How do you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like.
Well,
you go know, from an eighth. Excuse me, let's see if this is right. Eighth of a mile to a quarter of a mile is like 2 seconds additional from what you run in an eighth.
Typically.
Yeah. Usually. In other words, if you run a four. Or say a 4 second.
You're going
to run a six and a quarter.
Yeah.
That's flying.
Oh, that's hauling butt now.
That is flying.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember when Big John bought that 66 Nova, and I don't think we did anything to it except took the hubcaps off and burnt the tires down on it and ran a quarter of a mile, and he run 12 O's. Yeah. And that was flying then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
with a 4-speed. I mean, it sounded like it was automatic.
Yeah.
No.
Well, they held national records with the 55. And
right.
It was in the nines.
Nines. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then but that is unbelievable to think that you could run that fast and you'd be running in sixes. Now, you got to realize that the drag cars that run the top fuel cars, what do they run at, 3 seconds or something?
Oh, yeah. They're
but they're running 330 miles an hour.
Right.
In
limited.
Yeah. And, you know, in a quarter of a mile. So
yeah.
that's getting on down the road, because these cars are going to be doing over 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
To run in an eighth.
Oh, yeah.
So you know what question he asked her? Mm. He said, "How do you steer that?" She says, "If we don't,
you better not."
She said, "We just aim it, and hold on." Well, he said, "How do you stop it?" "Oh, a bunch of parachutes."
Yeah. You better not use brakes a lot.
No,
the parachutes better slow you down.
No,
it keeps
you
straight. Yeah,
that'd be like
you see those guys get in a bind somewhere down the racetrack. Those chutes come out in a hurry because it'll pull them back straight.
That's like one time when Little John was running that 55 up at Chatham, and he was running down through there, and he hit the brakes. And the back brakes didn't work. The front brakes locked up.
Hmm.
And he had them little narrow tires on it.
Yeah, they don't
And he
much.
Kept pumping those, and he blowed both of those tires before he got that car stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Blowed the tires on it trying to get it stopped. But guys and gals, the battle cry at Atmore Dragway this weekend is really unbelievable. Let's see what we got here on what time the track. Friday, the track is hot at 6 p.m., so you don't have to go during the daytime. Friday admission is 20, test and tune is 30. Now Saturday gates open at 9 a.m. Saturday admission is 20. Events, a 2-day pass is $35. Then it's the racing at 12 p.m. Shakedowns at 3 p.m. So you need to get up there and see. Who knows? There are these new glasses I'm having trouble with.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Arnold, the Hulk, Superman, Batgirl, and many others.
Yeah.
Special guest, Motor Trend star, and fastest cars in the dirty South.
Yep.
Holy cow. Load them up and go to Atmore Friday night and Saturday.
Yep, absolutely. We got a comment from somebody here. Got to be making more than a grand at the wheels to run low threes. A grand won't get you there.
Nope.
Yeah, it's street cars running around with 1,000 horsepower to the rear tires.
Yep.
We're talking closer to 3,000.
Yeah, well, every one of these things has got blowers on them. What do they call them, screw blowers?
Screw blowers. But
I don't know. I didn't get out of racing, so long.
But these things, they're those kind of cars, they're putting 3,000 to the ground.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy horsepower.
It is undang believable now how much power these vehicles are making. But I'm an old circle track guy as well as drag strip, but the thing that I'm so I'm kind of blown away with is how do you get that power to the ground and how are you getting that weight transfer to the tires? They have undoubtedly done a lot of technology in the generation of new drag tires from what I knew about years ago.
Yeah, well, the tires are just incredible. Plus, I mean, their torque converter technology has come so far, Plus, they're actually a lockup torque converter in drag car, which is, just unheard of a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
They've got traction control. They're doing all kind of stuff with these cars.
Well, when you start dialing them in with a damn computer program on a computer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, even with a screw blower, they're adjusting how much boost it's letting it make and all that kind of stuff and the horsepower it's putting.
You know that they have specialty tuners that just go to the racetracks on the weekend with their computer and let the guys make a couple of passes and they come in and hook their computer program up to their computer and says, "Oh, we can pick up speed here, we can pick up speed there," and then they get out of the car and the guy gives him $1,000 cash,
Yeah.
Say what? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Unbelievable. Yep.
They're making it happen, no doubt. And it's no different than round track racing. Yeah, you got your chassis and setup guy or shock guy that you're paying to help you get your car faster and better and
these guys
faster and better than everybody else's.
And if you watch some of this street racing that they've got on TV now, you see what those guys are doing and the type of stuff they've got and all the different stages of nitrous and. And the big motors, I mean, they're talking about 500 and 600 cubic inches and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
And then the size of the tires and then, I'm going, and what did I see? I saw two cars that wrecked the other day. They were 500 drag cars and they were $500,000 a piece.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's
$500,000 for one freaking car.
It's easy to get there. Easy. Yeah. It's just like a round track car. I mean, it's not hard at all to get $100,000 in a late model nowadays. Yeah. It's the reason we're not running one.
I imagine. So, yeah.
You know, the money it takes to run one of those cars and have an upfront car is just ridiculous.
Well,
you can tear it up. You can kill it first time out.
They got like a pro late model?
Yeah.
Now, is that the big car? Or just,
well, the super late models, which are the top dogs.
Okay. You know, so what kind of money they got in those motors now? 40?
Well, they've actually backed them up a little bit. And, the open motors and the concept motors and 9-1s that we used to run,
right?
They don't run those anymore.
No.
They're running what they call like a equalizer motor. It's a spec-built motor from some of the engine builders.
Is that the $20,000 motor?
Yeah, closer to. But I mean, heck, you're getting that much money in these pro late model motors. Yeah, your $6,000 crate motor turns into a $20,000 motor once you get done with it. You know, so.
But that's supposed to be a sealed motor. You're not supposed to be doing anything
sealed.
To it.
It's sealed and it's legal. If you take it apart, it'll have all the right pieces in it. But I guarantee you, everything is built to the absolute limit. And they may buy four sets of heads and flow them all and find the ones that make the most horsepower. They may do the same thing with intakes. They'll mix and match and end up with the best pieces.
I was reading an article, or actually I know a guy one time that bought an intake and a blower from John Force.
Yeah.
And he says, why would you want his old crap?
Right.
It's not old. This is brand new. I said, what? He said, yeah, it was second best on the dyno.
Yeah.
I said, what? He said, they picked up extra second or 3 seconds or whatever, or 10 horsepower, 12 horsepower. After buying 10 or 12 of these,
mm-hmm.
and like you say, put them on a dyno, same motor, same conditions, and whichever one turned the most horsepower,
this
one they kept. Then they turned around and told the other guys how much this one did, and they sold them. They said, I know you're not going to outrun me anyway, so whatever.
Yep, I tell you, it's really ridiculous what you'll do to get that extra little horsepower.
And it's all about cubic dollars, It's just how much money do you have, and that tells you how much you're going to do some R&R, or R&D, research and development,
right.
and find the best thing you got.
Yeah, well, I was telling somebody the other day that, it wasn't unusual for me to change camshafts 6 times in a year.
Oh, heck
looking for horsepower.
Right, right.
Yeah, and people wonder why mine ain't more than theirs.
because you worked on it.
Put the time and the money in it.
Right, right.
But sound like it's time for us to take a break. We're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
His daddy made the whiskey. Son, he drove low. When his engine roared, they called the highway Thunder Road. Sometimes into Asheville, sometimes Memphis town. The revenueers chased him, but they couldn't run him down. Each time they thought they had him, his engine would explode. He'd go by like they were standing still on.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day.
And
the
welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And Dave sent us a comment here. Said, reporting the latest trends in transportation as observed in vehicles in Gulf Shores spring break. Race trucks, I found lower trucks too, but race trucks rule. Reckon the rotors are lit up in case he needs to do a midnight brake job. And he's showing he's got a picture here of a jacked up. Well, the front's jacked up and the back's not. I guess he's saving up
for the lights under there so they can dig the cats and the raccoons out when they run over them out on the highway.
Yeah, he's probably just saving up for the rest of the lift kit on the truck so he can get the back picked up. I guess I don't know.
The lights go show where it goes.
That's right. But that's a new trend, and I just don't get it.
I'm not on that page.
I'm old school. First off, I like it on the ground anyway. I don't like the lift and stuff. Never was a big fan of that. But because they drive,
I like to drive a drivable luxury vehicle or a semblance thereof. Yep. Not a damn log truck. It just should be in the woods.
Oh, these things. I mean, this is a jacked up four wheel drive, and it's got the low profile, you know, 30-inch wheel tires and stuff on it, and it has to drive horrible. Yeah.
Well, you know, we're gonna get on somebody's list.
Well, you know, that's okay. That's okay.
You know, it won't be. He's not gonna get a cherry.
It ain't the first time, okay? It ain't the first time. So. But anyway, that's each their own. I mean, as long as someone's enjoying the hobby, I'm happy.
I'm happy. It's what the hell.
Yeah, if they're happy, I'm happy, because the more interest you get in the car hobby, the better it'll be. So I mean, each their own. No, people don't like the way I build mine, but it's mine.
But
so,
you know what? Yeah. You know who's paying for it?
Right.
Right. That's all you got to satisfy.
Exactly. But. I also wanted to invite everybody out to UJ Chevrolet. We got actually got a little inventory in here the last few days.
We got some trucks.
Yeah, actually been the truck field been looking a little thin, but we've got a few in and got some nice looking stuff out there. But come by and see. And we're also looking for always looking for salespeople, but we're also looking for lube techs. So. If you know anybody that wants to get in the business or has been doing it, preferably with a little experience, and don't have to have a bunch, but we'd love to talk to you. So come see Jerry Smith out at UJ Chevrolet.
Awesome. And, okay.
Or myself, and be glad to talk to you about bringing you on board and team. So.
There you go. Hey, that's it's a good place to work. Mm-hmm. Good family oriented place, and. You're going to make as much money there and or more than you'll make in just most any place in Mobile.
Yep.
In the automotive industry, because they recognize your talent.
And the odds are they're going to be there tomorrow, because they've been there for, 80 years.
There you go.
So,
right. And there's some young people that are in charge.
Yep.
So they don't want to go anywhere.
Yep. No one's going anywhere.
They want to do it like Daddy and Granddaddy did it.
It's not like some of the local places have been sold 3-4 times here in the last 2-3 years. And
I know. They can't change the signs quick enough on some
of
them.
That's right. Sometimes they just don't bother. They just,
I notice.
Cover it up. And,
get one of those tarpaulins and get it lettered up, put over it.
Right. So we'll wait. We'll wait for the new sign until we see if it sticks or not. So,
right. Yeah. Let's see if we get paid this week. Then we'll know.
Exactly.
Know who's in charge.
Yeah. So anyway, it's be glad to have you out there. Service department's been kicking. We've been actually been very busy. We've had our best year and best week in over a year last week. So hey, things are looking up.
Say what?
Yep.
Run that by me again.
Yep. We've had our best week hour wise in the shop in well over a year. So
that is unbelievable. That tells me that the economy's coming back. People are burnt out on being in quarantine, and we've been going by all these stupid 6-foot distance rules, and now they say, mm-hmm. Oh, well, you don't need to do that. That was done in 1985 or somewhere during the flu epidemic.
Yeah.
And that's where they got their 6-foot records from.
Right.
Stupidity Incorporated.
Dang, well,
it's all politics. It's so friggin' unbelievable.
I know. And I like to thank everybody. They're trying to do the best they can to keep everybody safe.
Well, yes, we all want to do that. We all want to do that.
I don't know that I agree with 100% of it, but, it's –
Hey, I've been there, baby. I had the COVID and I had the flu at the same time. I was in the hospital for 10 days. Mm-hmm. I know how you can get mentally thinking about that.
Right.
You know, and Philip, you had it too. You had the COVID, didn't you? Or just – you've been in the hospital before, though.
I was sympathizing with the fact that you still have respiratory issues.
Oh, I do. I have. You hear me coughing and gagging back here, and you're trying to fade it out on the board, but but you reach a point in life where, hell no, you're not taking me out. I got other things to do.
Still got things to do. So,
right. You know, I still got things to do, and places I want to go and people I want to see, but at the same time, I'm just so frustrated with all of our rights and privileges that they're utilizing this stupid crap for.
Right.
And it's not stupid crap, I guess, when you lose 500,000 people, and when you think that that's more people than we lost in World War I and World War II.
Right.
We had more people killed from this COVID.
No doubt it's serious. And you got to take it serious. I don't think any of us likes being told what we have to do.
No.
That's
what they call it, free country.
Well, you know, and sometimes you got to have a little faith in the people in this country that, that to do the right thing, you know.
Yeah, you know, and we gave them the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But now the truth's coming out, you know.
Well, yeah.
They took advantage of us.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. Yeah, hopefully we can get beyond this here shortly.
Ooh,
and,
got to, man. We got to.
Well, the governor here swears that by what, first next month sometime, no more mask ordinance.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be,
but you know what? I don't
voluntary.
It'll be voluntary, and there'll be places that I go that I'm going to still wear mine.
Yeah.
Even though I don't really like, I don't call it a mask. I call it a muffler.
Yeah.
You know, because they're. But at the same time, I can remember back years ago when I'd see people going around, and it wouldn't be but one or two people in a darn Walmart or someplace, and they'd have a mask on them.
Right.
And, you know, you'd giggle, like, wonder what the hell their problem is. You know, what's
going on? Right.
But now, look at that. We're all giggling at each other because we all got these darn mufflers on, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, everybody's gotten a little better at recognizing folks, you know, by either their voice or their eyes because
right.
They can't see their face.
Right, yeah, because
you
can't see the face. You
know? And I run into people all the time. It's like, I know you, but, you know, I can't tell from here.
Right, so, right.
You know? Yeah. But, I mean,
it's... Take your mask off. Let me see who you are before
that's
I start talking.
That's right.
I might tell you something you don't need to know.
Exactly. Exactly.
I might call you the wrong name, baby.
Well, you
oh, you're not Jolene? Damn, baby.
You got a good excuse
hell,
this
you
time,
got,
though.
Y'all got to change your hairdo or something here.
Yeah. You got a good excuse this
oh,
way.
Oh, Lord.
So, I tell you, but hopefully we can get on through this. But
well, I'm glad everybody's got their cars fixed.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. That brings up another question. Did you see that some of this additional laborers that you guys had, would you say it was a month or a week?
A week.
Did you see any of that pertaining to maybe people getting their cars ready for summer trips?
You know, a little bit of it. I mean, we saw some a little bit of maintenance work, and honestly, we don't make a lot of money off our maintenance stuff. It's the repair end of it. You know, the maintenance is a necessary evil. You know, I'm sure everybody kind of understands that.
If it's mechanical, it's going to break or malfunction.
Well, I mean,
somewhere down the line,
and that's. You know, we got it in there, and we're not trying to beat people up over, you know, when they bring their car in. For
well,
general
if you were, you wouldn't
you know?
Be there.
Right.
You know?
You know, but if there's something wrong with their car, we're going to try and do our best to check it out and let them
Amen.
Know that
there
there's something creeping up from underneath that they don't know about, you know, because
right.
I'd like to know, you know. You know, it's if it hasn't broke yet, but it's going to. I'd like to know ahead of time so
right,
I can maybe
right.
maybe budget for it
yeah,
a little
if,
bit.
Yeah, if you see something, you know, your disc pads are good, your brakes are good for, another 4, 5, 6 months. How many miles you drive
right.
a month? You're good for another 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
But put that in your budget that you might need to get it back here or,
mm-hmm.
or get your brake pads and all rotors turned and replaced and your pads turned or replaced. Is, you know, not turn the pad, but
yeah,
replace them.
Yeah.
Well, but, I mean, that's to tell me about it, you know, because I want to
yeah.
put it in my budget.
Well,
if you ain't got
I mean,
a budget now, you're in trouble.
Exactly, you know. Well, you know, it's nice to be able to tell people, said, you know, by the next oil change or the oil change after that, you're either going to need tires or brakes or something.
Right,
you
right.
know? If they know ahead of time, they can be working towards that, you know.
That's right.
Because none of this stuff's cheap anymore.
Nope.
I don't
know
if anybody's priced a set of tires lately, but they are not cheap.
What price of battery?
Yeah, batteries have gone crazy.
Check the price on a battery, yeah.
You know, it's not unusual to have a $200 battery.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So, and up, you know, from there.
There you go.
So, you know, and if you got a diesel truck, it's going to have two of them in it.
Yeah,
so,
and they're not going to be cheap ones because they got a lot of amperage.
Yeah, they're going to be the big batteries, you know.
Yeah. Well, they're, what, $250, $300 a piece probably?
Well, yeah, they're probably around two something because most of them are not a jail cell type battery or they're more of a lead acid battery most of the time, but
right.
some of those are the AGM, yeah,
okay,
the sword glass Mac battery. So it's you know, heck, some of our little Malibus and Impalas and stuff have a $250 battery in it.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Look at the electronics is in them. My sister bought a new
yep.
ride here this past week,
mm-hmm.
and she was showing it to me yesterday afternoon, and it's one of those deals that. It's got the big screen on it, you know, and it's
oh, yeah.
got you turn your right blinker on, and the camera comes on the right side. You turn the
mm-hmm.
left blinker on, the camera comes on over there. You put it in reverse, the camera on the back of the car comes up, and you know, you got all then. And if you're going down the road, you can turn the steering wheel loose. It stays between the lines.
Oh yeah.
I'm going, what? And she said, yeah. I said, I was driving home after we bought it, and said I was driving along behind this car, and said all of a sudden, the car speeded up in the front, and said it come on, and it told me that I wasn't keeping up in traffic. You know, whatever the back, that's not the exact words right. she said, and it's not what they would tell you. But in other words, you were slacking off.
It told her to advance the skinny pedal.
Right. Yes, yeah. Yeah. Advance that.
Yeah, the skinny one on the right.
The skinny one on the right. Yeah, yeah. Something, you know. But it's unbelievable. All the electronics.
Oh yeah.
She says, they told me it's got 22 computers in it.
Oh, that's not unusual.
No. Yeah. You know. Yeah. But it's a little SUV. I mean, it's not a damn BMW or a Cadillac or something with 40.
No,
some computers.
It's.
I guess all these.
Trust me,
all
these things
that way.
Oh, pretty much all of them. Pretty much all
22 computers.
Eight, you know,
in a little SUV.
15 to 25 computers is not unusual. Yeah. So, but anyway, it sounds like it's about.
We do not have mechanics anymore. We have electronic technicians.
Yeah, and that's true. I spend half my day trying to keep computers up and working in the shop and in that in cars. So, trust me, I understand.
Yep, I hear you, brother.
We're gonna take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
A little place called Hamburger Dan. I stuck me a quarter in the jukebox. I played the song The Truck Driving Man.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle. I'm Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Speaking of calls, it looks like we do have a caller online. Caller, are you with us? Hello,
gentlemen.
Hey.
Hey, it is that one lean green machine, the Jarhead, coming at you.
Oh, my Lord, coming at me.
Hey, Tom, it's nice to know that muffler ain't working.
Yeah. It don't even cut it down.
Yeah, my muffler, I need five of them that'll get quiet my mouth.
I still don't think that'll work. I still don't think that'll work.
You don't think that'll work? Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, now you guys, you know where I work, Tom, and right. I have people since I am a maintenance tech. Yeah, I am asked questions all the time, and I had one the other day that I just could not figure out, and so I figured I'd call you guys and ask you.
Bring it on. We got your car doctor here.
She said her remote start won't work. I said, well, do you have a fresh battery in your key fob? Mm-hmm. She said, yes, it's a good battery. When you put it in, it'll crank up, it'll unlock the doors and everything. I said, well, only thing that I could think of is maybe you got a short.
Now, a couple things on your remote start. If you have any trouble codes, you know, with the check engine light on, it won't work.
Okay.
If your hood closed sensor is not working properly, if it doesn't know that hood is down and latched, it won't let it work.
Well, now, will a light or something come on the dash to indicate that?
A lot of times it won't tell you that the hood's open.
What?
Sometimes it will, sometimes it won't.
Depends that'd be vehicle. One of the first damn things I want to know about.
Yeah, a lot of ours do. Not all of them, but most of them do tell you if the hood's popped open. But not all vehicles do that, and even all of ours don't do it, but most of them do now.
I got one guy that somebody told me the other day that I didn't know, and it has happened to me on that 2012 F-150, mm-hmm. that every once in a while you get a code saying the fuel filler flapper is open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And from what I am told, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin and Tom, if you fill that thing full of gas, and when it cuts off, if you keep on filling it, it's got a little sensor in there that gets full of gas, and it's going to tell you that thing is open until that all that gas evaporates out of there.
Well, the sensor there is not going to tell you that it's open, but what it can do, when you keep packing fuel in there, it will actually overflow into the purge canister.
Right.
That sounds more like what he actually told me.
Right.
There's a little canister in there.
Right.
It'll get saturated with fuel and it will not flow properly.
Right.
Until it burns out or dries out. And most of the time that will dry out, but if you keep doing it, you're gonna bust the charcoal bag that's in that canister. And it's going to go everywhere, and you do not want that to happen.
Well, yeah, because that gets all through your complete fuel system, doesn't it?
Well,
public service announcement, when that thing gets full, cut it out, let it cut off, and pull the fuel filler out and be done with it.
Right. I mean, if it's close to being full, and you know it's close to being full, and, you know, it clicks off, stop. You know, now, if it was empty and you put 2 gallons in, it clicks off, it's okay to...
Right.
You know, pull the trigger again. You know,
but. Well, if you happen to have one of these newer pumps, too, where you got the whole pressure on it in the neck of the car on your pump portion of it itself, if you release the pressure on there, it'll quit pumping.
Yeah.
So you've got to repressurize it back into the neck.
Right.
You know, I think I saw that at Costco. It's got that.
There's not many around here that are like that. Costco may be one
Costco's got one, yeah.
But that's it's actually capturing the fuel vapors coming out of the tank while you're fueling.
Say what? Is that the reason for that?
That's the reason for that.
I knew I liked this show for some reason or other.
Yeah, they're trying to, capture the vapors.
Y'all keep on telling everybody how to keep their cars right. Tom, you don't worry about them mufflers, buddy, because they ain't going to muffle you not one bit.
Thank you, brother. Oh, I appreciate you.
All right. Yeah.
Well, his is like that thrush muffler. It's loud and obnoxious.
It's burnt all the insides out of mine.
Burnt inside out of it. Yeah.
Either that or it was all that damn Jack Daniels, one or the other. Don't strike a match, I'm drinking.
Yeah.
Blew me up.
Yeah. You know, the isolator between his mouth and his brain that burned out years ago.
Yeah, but that's because, when I was drinking, and then somebody lit a couple of cigarettes right by me, and I went, whoop.
Burnt that out of there. But that's all right.
Oh, yeah, don't go around with us. Enjoy it while we're going.
We actually had one the other day that customers talking about it didn't want to fuel right, and then everything we checked good except for the canister had fuel in it, and that will make it hard to fuel later on down the road because air can't pass through it properly, and it'll make it hard to fill. But if you keep packing it,
the purge canister or charcoal, which is a charcoal canister,
right,
is actually designed to accept fumes only, right?
Right. And it's there for when you're filling up. It will actually let the fumes go through the canister and go out in the atmosphere. But it blocks most of the fuel vapors.
Right.
And it just lets the air out.
So it cleans the air.
Right. And that's where all that goes. But if you let that canister, get degraded to the point to where the charcoal starts coming out of it, your fuel tanks have these relief valves in the top of them that are molded into the tank, so you can't open them up and look at them.
Right, been there, done that.
You'll end up replacing the gas tank, the purge solenoid on the motor, the vent solenoid that comes off the tank, and your purge canister, and then you got to make sure you get all of the charcoal out of the lines.
Yeah, you're not talking about
$200. Oh, no, that stuff's not cheap.
No.
It looks like we got another caller. Let's see if we can get to real quick. Caller, you with us?
Yes.
Yeah, what can we do for you?
Well, I got a question for you gentlemen.
All right.
I got a 14 F-150, and my lots seem to have a mind of their own.
Right.
The driver's door will always unlock.
Mm-hmm.
The passenger side and the two rear doors sometime will, sometime won't.
Yeah. And that's with your key fob or when you're hitting the button on the door?
Either one,
yeah. I don't know. That's going to be a little hard to say. I would have to get it when it wasn't working and seeing if I'm actually getting the signal to the lock actuator. For three of the actuators to go bad is kind of, iffy. It's not usual for three of them to die at one time. But, it is possible. I mean, but for those three to be hit or miss, a lot of times that may be in the body control. because usually if you have a you can set them up to where when you hit your fob once, the driver's door unlocks, and then the second time it unlocks the other three, and the same way when you pull up and you put it in park, you know, and it unlocks the driver's door, but maybe not all the others, or you can set it up otherwise, and all that's controlled in the body control module. So I'd almost be looking towards maybe a body control module issue as well.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a, I don't know, it's a little sketchy on which one it may be, because, you know, they're all powered up by the same thing, but they're controlled by one module. So, okay. You know, but they are controlled a little separate. But, yeah.
So the body control, that's, you can manipulate that, is what you're saying?
Well, it's part of the personalization of the vehicle. You can usually go in and personalize how it controls the doors.
That's with a special diagnostic piece of equipment, though.
Well, and sometimes you can do it through your dash. You just have to look in under personalization in your owner's manual.
Okay.
And sometimes it'll walk you through that. I'm not sure on the Ford. I know our GM products do. So, but I hate to kind of cut you short. We're coming up here towards the end of our show.
That's all right.
But I do
have more information than I had before.
There you go. Have a blessed one, buddy.
All right. I appreciate you listening. Now. Appreciate you calling in. But,
thank you, brother.
All right. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. That's why we're here, and hopefully we're answering some questions and helping some people out, because that's the only reason we're here and doing this.
Amen.
Know? Other than having a good time.
And then don't forget the Battle Cry at Atmore Dragway on Friday night, March the 19th, and Saturday the 20th. Unbelievable blown Pro Modifieds, Open Outlaw Racing, special guest, and all of your regular additional classes. And God bless all of our veterans and all of our first responders. Bless y'all.
Hurrah.